Ending the Poverty Trap. Ending the trap of extreme poverty is the third great challenge of sustainable development. The central solution to ending extreme poverty is to empower the poor with improved technology so that they can become productive members of the world economy. The central problem is that the extreme poor are unable to purchase those very technologies on their own. They lack their own savings, and they also lack the credit worthiness to borrow. The result is the poverty trap, in which extreme poverty keeps vital, even life-saving technology out of the reach of the poor, and the lack of that technology keeps the poor unproductive and condemns them to continued poverty. The trap can be broken if public financing provides the poor with the technologies that they need but cannot afford. The technology raises their productivity. This increases their income, allows for savings and investment, and thus breaks the trap. We will describe four priority areas where improved technologies are already widely used around the world, but not by the extreme poor. High-yield agriculture, including improved seed varieties, chemical fertilizers, and small-scale irrigation. Educational technologies, as basic as classrooms and sanitary facilities for girls, but also connectivity for distance learning. Healthcare technologies of all sorts, and modern infrastructure, all-weather roads, rehabilitated rail lines, electricity, safe drinking water, sanitation, telecoms, and the Internet. If the poor can be empowered with these technologies, they will experience a significant rise in productivity and thereby be enabled to join the process of convergent economic growth. Foreign assistance can be the key in this process. If well targeted toward the crucial needs in agriculture, health, education, and infrastructure, foreign aid can provide the breakthrough financing to enable the poor to escape from poverty. Such success has occurred many times in the past, for example, in the international support for countries to fight diseases such as smallpox and measles, or to raise agricultural production through the adoption of high-yield seed varieties. We will describe at length some of these earlier successes and how the lessons from them can be usefully applied in our own time. Will we run out of resources? Even with the best of intentions, it might seem futile to plan for a richer world with shared prosperity. After all, many key resources are necessarily depleting, with no prospect for regrowth within the time span of society. Fossil fuels, for example, were laid down hundreds of millions of years ago by the deposition of organic matter that gradually was converted into coal, oil, gas, and other fossil fuels. As we use the oil, it is running out. Perhaps there are just a few decades left until we've exhausted the world's oil stocks. This seems the stuff of nightmares, the assured collapse of our fossil fuel civilization. Similarly, in some places we are running out of fossil groundwater, meaning water in deep underground aquifers that is being pumped to the surface for human uses at rates vastly greater than the aquifer's natural recharge through rainwater that infiltrates into the aquifer. Are we doomed? Or more precisely, is the future doomed? Even in the face of some resource depletion, future generations can be spared a collapse of living standards. First, as we run out of one resource, say oil, we can shift to other resources in more plentiful supply. Perhaps both are depletable, but by shifting from one to the next, we postpone the ultimate reckoning. Second, we can shift from the depleting resource, say oil again, to a renewable resource, such as solar power. Third, we can economize on the use of the depleting resource, for example by investing in better insulation in order to use less home heating oil. There has been much consternation about peak oil, the idea that the world may be nearing the peak of total oil production and, therefore, faces a decline of oil reserves and oil production in future decades because we have discovered and already developed most or all of the world's great oil fields. The common assumption is that peak oil, if true, is a disaster. The world hitting a brick wall of oil supply just as the developing world is ramping up its demand for it. Yet the consequences would not be nearly as dire as some have suggested. We might run out of conventional petroleum in a few decades, but we have centuries left of coal and other non-conventional fossil fuels, such as tar sands and oil shale. This may seem like slight consolation, since it is hard to put coal into the gas tank. Yet chemists know precisely how to do that, using an industrial process known as Fischer-Tropsch liquefaction that converts coal into liquid hydrocarbons such as gasoline at relatively low cost. In the long run, we need to be more concerned about the total supply of fossil fuels rather than with the supply of oil alone, since the fossil fuels are reasonably interchangeable from one to the other through known industrial processes. The best evidence regarding the total fossil fuel supply is that we have enough for this century, even with substantial economic growth, but we will have to rely increasingly on coal and non-conventional fossil fuels. In the most authoritative recent estimate, Rogner reaches the following crucial conclusion. The global fossil fuel resource base is abundant and is estimated at approximately 5,000 GTOE, billion tons of oil equivalent. Compared to current global primary energy use of some 10 GTOE per year, this amount is certainly sufficient to fuel the world economy through the 21st century, even in the case of drastic growth in global energy demand. The challenge for this century will not be in the limited availability of fossil fuels, but in their safe ecological use and in the timely investments needed to ensure that the right kinds of fuels are available at the right times and places, such as the conversion from coal to liquids.